Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Today's episode of Two in the Think Tank is provided to you.
And us.
And us, exactly. This episode was entirely written and produced by the people at Harry's as a way to provide a vehicle for this ad that we're doing right now about Harry's.
And though Harry's don't just make quality razor blades and weighted handles.
No,
and,
they also write well-scripted podcasts.
Now, they, just for legal reasons, they haven't written this.
Oh, thing. Sure. Sorry.
Just in case they don't like the content.
I don't know what kind of legal situation we could find ourselves in there, but you're right. That's a whole lot of trouble we don't need, Alistair.
I'm going to say some really controversial stuff in this episode.
Oh, I see. So they don't. Yeah, Al warned me before the podcast started that he had some real controversial stuff that he wanted to say.
I thought of it earlier.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh, while I was in the bathroom.
Good. I mean, it could be one of those ones that real starts some sort of revolution or something that would, maybe Harry's would want to be in on board with that at the ground floor. But it doesn't matter. It's okay. Anyway, they're great. You can get a great deal from them by using...
Who's they?
Harry's.
Oh, Harry's. Yeah.
Yeah, you can get a great deal by using the go to harrys.com/thinktank. And we'll tell you all about how good the deal is later on in the podcast, but suffice to say, you're getting $13 of free blank just by going to harrys.com/2inblank, and we'll fill you in
when what that blank is later.
Also, mysteriously, Harry sent us a whole lot of body wash and soap that we haven't even...
No,
they haven't even told us to promote it.
This is one of my favorite sounds.
Oh, yes.
Look at this.
Oh, you know you're about to get clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when you're a couple of dirty boys like us, mm-hmm. you like nothing better than...
than a good scrub-a-dub-dub.
Indeed. Anyway, scrub-a-dub-dub-dub-a-dub-dub-dub. Scrub-a-dub-dub-dub-a-dub-dub-dub-dub. Scrub-a-dub-a-dub-dub-a-dub-dub. Scrub-a-dub, scrub-a-dub, scrub-a-dub-a-dub-dub. Scrub with your dub and your dub-dub-dub. You scrub your dub to your dub-dub-dub. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trumbly Birchall. And Andy, I think that I prefer... the smell of
shit to the smell of urine.
Of perfume.
Oh, no, wow. No. Okay.
I think I prefer the smell of asparagus pee to regular pee.
I mean, that's almost as controversial as what I jokingly suggested you were going to say.
Yeah.
Maybe more controversial.
Do you think so?
Well...
do you think that the smell of asparagus pee is worse than shit? So you would rather smell shit than asparagus pee?
No, I didn't mention I didn't mention asparagus pee at all.
Well, you were referencing
No. I was referencing what I said, which was pee and shit, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact is, nobody even voices an opinion on that. That's not a thing that people discuss,
yeah.
right? But people do discuss pee versus asparagus pee. It seems like we're perfectly happy to talk about different types of pee smells and vis-a-vis which one we prefer.
Vis-a-whiz.
Vis-a-whiz, indeed. Mm. But when it comes to comparing the fruits of the anus...
Whiz-a-wee. Whiz-a-wee.
Whiz-a-wee.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's fascinating. And I think it's an interesting... like, it's a thing that absolutely... We are aware of this phenomenon,
mm-hmm.
that asparagus makes your pee smell different.
Yeah.
And we've made no effort whatsoever to investigate that in terms of what other things could we be eating or putting in our bodies to make our urine smell various different ways.
I wonder if you could...
and maybe make it more palatable to the nose.
That's
because
true.
Sure, other people might not have to smell your pee, although they do be aware of this. Mm-hmm. You have to smell your pee sometimes several times a day.
Absolutely.
And can't self-care be, you know, it's a self-care revolution. Can't self-care be something about making, smelling the stuff that comes out of your body be nicer for you, because nobody smells it more than you.
That's right. I think even if you were just placing something that rested on the inside of all of your holes.
Hey, like, you know, like the, one of those toilet duck clip things.
Yeah, like a toilet duck clip. Or like a, it's kind of like a little round thing, you know, like a Dyson, you know, like Dyson.
Dyson's all about round things.
It's all about round things, and air or fluid passes through it, and then it affects it in some way.
Yeah, there's nothing in the middle of Dyson things, which is the great thing about Dyson things. Mm. There's nothing in the middle. You look at it, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, how do they do that?
Yeah, and well, so they can make it turbine-like.
Sure.
They can make it turbine, no problem, but can they just, could they make it smell different? Using the turbine, using the vortex.
If they can make suction with a vortex, no one thought you could do that.
That's right.
I'm sure they could create smell.
And it could be hugely expensive.
But, sure.
But it doesn't matter.
So hugely expensive and probably not better measurably than the one with the toilet duck that you clip. But just the little plastic clip on the edge of your butthole there, and the duck goes up. Up the butt,
yeah,
and changes the smell as things come out.
Even probably just a mint would work equally as good as this Dyson thing.
But I think a mint would feel really weird.
Yeah, I think in the butt it might be cool and refreshing.
Yeah, but I've washed my body with a quite intense mint. Body
oh, that
scrub.
Real hippie one?
It was a real hippie one.
Yeah.
And when that got on certain areas of my body, the sensation was distracting.
Yeah, yeah. No,
at very least, it was distracting.
I think it did have like a peppermint essence or something like that in there.
Yeah.
And even maybe nettle.
Okay.
I think there might have been nettle in there, right? And I'm just saying, I remember I once went to a friend's house and I used that, and I tell you what, I was feeling radiant in terms of cold beaming off of my, just
some of your membrane.
Some of my membranes.
There are regions of the body where the membrane is
thinner, and I think I could almost feel it on the inside of the skin.
Clean,
deep penetrating,
outside
cold,
and
clean.
Very slightly in.
Mm.
Anyway, is there a sketch in, and it's disgusting, and I'm sorry, audience, that we started out this way.
Yeah.
About orifice odor.
Well, I was wondering whether
treatments.
A simple place to go is it's a sketch about a scientist who tricks and confuses his dog by feeding him asparagus.
Yes.
And then after he pees, he starts smelling another
dog's urine.
Urine
and
in
so
the back.
He wants to pee on that.
On that.
And then he smells more. And the dog
realizes that
pisses
it's
out all of the fluid and turns to dust.
Well, I mean, I think that could, you know, that's where it could go eventually.
It's a very funny ending.
It's, oh, absolutely.
You got one of those dust dogs.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It blows away in a gust.
What do you do when
dust in a gust.
What do you do when your dust dog dies?
All we are is dust in
a
gust.
Sounds like a song by somebody named after one of your children that they would write, because Andy names all his children after folk musicians.
Correct.
Pete Seeger is one. Pete Seeger Matthews.
I have worked really hard to get Seeger into one of the names of one of my kids, and I have come up against firm resistance.
Seeger Master System Matthews.
The Pete Seeger Master System.
Or Seeger Matthews system.
Yes.
See? All right, we're off the rails.
Are we?
Maybe. We're is this talking, rails?
I just had another kid recently.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was great. I recommend it.
Everybody.
I was wondering if there would be some way that as a man, I could feel even more supportive of my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they should come up with a bed for where the delivery happens, where your wife is lying on top of you.
Yeah.
And you're also naked. You're under her.
Yeah, naked.
You're naked from the waist down. Or, you know, like in the way that a woman is naked when she gives birth.
Like, you could just be wearing one of those hospital robes.
Exactly. Okay, great. I'm wearing one of those hospital... Look, that's as good as naked, those hospital robes.
I prefer naked, personally.
Really?
Yeah.
This could be a naked hospital.
Yeah. The naked hospital. Okay, it's a nudist. It's a hospital for nudists.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. And I reckon so many more quick diagnoses.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes.
On the run,
you're walking between wards.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors are just picking stuff up as they
as they go. Walk and talk. They're passing you in one direction. They diagnose your front.
Mm-hmm.
On the way back, they diagnose your back.
So on your way back, they're following you.
They overtake you because you're sick. You're not moving quick. Okay, yeah. You haven't really gone anywhere. They've already performed surgery.
What?
You're still making your way down the down the corridor.
But then why are they coming from the same direction?
They've got you coming and going.
I guess while you were getting, so you cross each other in the.
All right, there's two different breeds of doctors.
Oh right,
right, different species, like those birds that David Attenborough talked about, where one feeds hopping up the bark, gets the bugs, and one feeds different niches in the ecosystem. One feeds hopping down the bark of the tree, right? And the doctors, one walks left to right, one walks right to left, and they've got you coming and going. They diagnose your front and your back. The two organs of the human body, the front and the back.
Yeah, and so the hospital's a loop.
The hospital is a loop, and the doctors only move in one direction. Always moving as well. Always moving. Yeah, if they stop moving, they get shot. There's a central guard tower. Where the director of the hospital stands with his big gun or her big gun.
Now,
and if any of the doctors stop moving, they get shot there.
The hospital warden?
Naked.
No. So, wait, are the doctors
The doctors naked? Are naked.
They're naked?
Because they could be sick as well.
That's true.
Are they not also in need of diagnosis? This isn't a cruel hospital.
No, you're right. And to force them to continually dress and undress and things like that would waste time.
Exactly. So what we do is we just scrub them in head to foot once, right? And then they're clean and then they don't leave. This could be a sort of a revolution almost in Medicare because appointments are getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
Doctors spend so much of their time, like probably 80% of the appointment is them walking to the to the waiting room to call your name and then walking back again. That's valuable time.
Yeah.
That walking time, what if that was the appointment?
And
the diagnosis.
This should be the appointment.
This should...
You know, this walking, this should be the appointment. You know?
And I said to Jerry, I said, this should be the appointment.
And so I guess you could, and then by continuing to walk, you could
And get, walking is good for you, by the way.
Good for you. So already... They're treating you
And what a treat.
And what a treat. You can also go like, the doc goes, I think that could be a melanoma.
Yeah.
And they go, well, I want a second opinion. He goes, well, he'll cross you in a couple of minutes.
He'll check you on the way around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe, you know, specialist could walk past.
Sure.
And then I think even, you know, if they get you on a, if you're really sick and you need surgery, they get you on a trolley. And the surgery takes place while they're wheeling you to outpatients.
I think that's good, yeah.
The orderly's there.
Yeah. So
what a great name for a job, orderly.
Yeah, that is nice.
Also, it's great because a lot of the orderlies I meet, I reckon they're pretty loose units.
Hmm. Yeah?
Yeah. I was in the Ballarat Hospital yesterday, and I reckon every orderly had a chest tattoo visible above the hem of his gown.
Oh, yeah.
I saw two. Both had chest tattoos. And you don't see that a lot.
Yeah, no, you're right.
In most professional things.
But then again, I think the scrubs are low cut, aren't they?
They are low cut.
Are they a V-neck?
Yeah.
Are scrubs a V-neck?
I think they were a V-neck. A deep, plunging V-neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peephole. Some of them had a peephole one with just an extra little hole here just between the...
Really?
The breasts.
Really?
So you can get a little glimpse of whatever else they have tattooed on their chest.
Side or front boob.
Side or front boob.
Or sternum.
Oh, they're all men. Orderlies are all men.
Really?
Mm.
Is that...
I don't know what it is. I think there's a lot of pushing and lifting.
Yeah, right.
Could be the pushing and the lifting.
I still smell sexism.
Anyway, all I was saying is that I wish that I could be more supportive and I could lie under my wife as she gives birth. And it would be like I was also giving birth. You know, from the point of view of the child looking back at the genitals as they leave, they would be hard-pressed to determine which one they came out of.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Did I come out of that bag?
That bag?
Because I guess they would see your scrotal sack.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I love to think of it as a bag.
Yeah.
We call it a ball bag.
Yeah, ball bag.
It's a bag.
Yeah, it's a bag.
Yeah, right. It doesn't have a zip or anything.
Well, not yet.
No, but...
It's because it hasn't been done by a designer.
I think that's true.
They haven't let a designer get their hands on it.
If you had a zip on your ball bag, do you reckon you would ever unzip it?
The ball bag is kind of a bit of a Pandora's box.
It absolutely is.
I think you don't want to drop a ball and get it in the dirt.
One of your balls?
I don't want anybody. I think testicles in their natural state, right, are kind of like, you know those like...
I feel we've talked about this on the podcast before.
Those sticky...
Hypothesize about the scrotum, scrotum.
Those sticky men that you throw against the glass and they kind of slowly fall.
Yeah, absolutely right. And they accumulate lint like nobody's business.
Exactly. And so I think those things, their best state, when they're at their best, is when they're in their packaging.
God, I hope those things don't experience pain in the same way that a testicle does. I hope the similarities begin and end with the sort of... lint attracting properties, and they haven't made those things feel pain.
But it makes me positive, not positive. Encouraged by the
optimistic.
Idea. Optimistic. This is exactly the word I was looking for.
Thank you, Alistair.
Optimistic that at a pinch,
yes,
which is definitely a word I got from hanging around with you. At a pinch, if you were, let's say, the wardrobe person in a television production,
yes,
or stage production,
mm-hmm,
right, and somebody had lint on their shoulder, I think that you could unzip your bag and use a testicle to pick that up, and it would be a clean pickup.
It would be as effective as that little hand on the end of that stretchy bit of goo that you flick against the window.
Yeah, or one of those lint picker-uppers things. Like, probably more effective than that.
Certainly more effective as a conversation starter.
Mm. I think that this nude hospital can be one of the solutions that we have in our Scandinavian Institute
really
of Ideas.
Really good. Scandinavian Institute. Why did I even bother trying to repeat it, Alistair? You said it perfectly the first time.
Well,
you did it so well, and you made it look so easy that I thought I could do it, you know, and that's very often the case when you see something done, you know, an art done well.
Absolutely.
You almost don't notice the art, right?
I keep thinking about how weird you laying under your wife while she's giving birth is in the nude, because it's such a weird...
I'm trying to be more of like a sensitive, more like, you know...
I get it.
A part of the process.
Oh, I get it, but
what were you doing? What were you doing? You were holding your wife's hand, presumably, your partner's hand.
Well, for some of it, I was just sitting at a distance eating lasagna.
Could you have chosen a less sort of bloody, fleshy, flappy, placenta-like meal to be consuming?
It was the best thing that seemed to be at the hospital cafeteria.
I reckon you had a lasagna in one of those little sort of aluminium foil trays that you get them in when you buy a takeaway lasagna.
Yeah.
And you had a placenta in one of those metal trays that they put them in when they, you know, whip them out, chuck them onto kidney bowl thing. I reckon in some sort of a scenario, confusing scenario, maybe in a comedy movie.
Yeah.
There could be a whole lot of misunderstandings. Maybe it winds up in the oven.
Sure. I mean, maybe some talcum part. Is there a lot of talc around the hospital?
There's talc.
Do they use talc?
I don't think they use talc since there was that court case in the United States and all the unpleasantness.
Well, I guess that means that probably rules out Roundup as well in the hospital. The hospital probably get rid of all of its pesticides.
That's one thing that we don't have to contend with.
Mm-hmm.
On our bodies, We have to deal with animals like lice and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
We have to deal with fungus.
Yeah.
We have to deal with viruses. And we have to deal with like little worms and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Several of the animal kingdoms.
Mm. But sometimes, occasionally, even an insect.
Not animal kingdoms, center of the, you know, whatever they call it, the kingdoms of life. Yeah, sometimes an insect.
You know, sometimes you got an ant on you.
Or a tick.
Yeah.
But we never have to deal with a plant. There's no, as far as I'm aware,
yeah,
like, what's the word, malignant plant malignant life.
Plant. Oh, sometimes I think I did see a guy on Real, you know, Ripley's Believe It or Not, who lost his face. I think I've talked about this guy before.
That was a mold.
Well, that was a tree mold.
Still a mold, Alistair. Yeah, I don't think it's a tree.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay.
I think it's a mold that you get from trees. I could be proven wrong.
But, I mean, it could be one of those organisms that, you know, makes up what a tree is. You know, but once you separate it from the tree, it just becomes problematic. But within the tree,
right.
You know, like much like, you know, the different bacteria within us are not technically us, but they are us. Mm-hmm. We, without them, we wouldn't do well.
Right. So you're saying that they're kind of like, who was that guy on one of the writers for The Simpsons? James?
L. Brooks.
James L. Brooks?
Yeah.
Do you think that like they're like that? And once you take it away, it's not so good?
Oh, maybe. No, maybe. I can't remember what he did.
Now, one of them was really instrumental in the voice of the show. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even care. We've talked about so much good stuff, Alistair. All you've written down is Naked Hospital.
Well,
I'm going to go back. I'm going to say that anal odor, orifice odor treatments is a sketch. I think it is because, I reckon,
mm-hmm.
Alistair, that the coalition, your neoliberalists, they'd love this because it puts the onus on the individual rather than, you know, looking to the state to deodorize the toilet.
Sure.
Right? We say it's up to the individual to deodorize the anus and the dick hole.
That's right.
Or the vagina hole.
So as in, like, you mean like, down at the sewer treatment plant, do the treating as it's coming at the source.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you had like a bag of bleach or something like that, you just kept in your sort of rectal canal.
Slow release bleach.
Yeah, but like just something that as things sort of slide over the top of them, out oozes a bit of bleach.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
But what? Well, is there a problem?
No, well, I'm
with
just...
with bleach in your anus?
No, but I'm trying to... I mean, I guess I said it because there was a problem. But look, but do you think this would all start with asparagus? They look at the active ingredient in the uroactive ingredient. Urine active ingredient, the one that changes the smell of the urine to be asparagus-like. So they go into there and they isolate that.
Yes.
And then they modify it somewhat so that you can get other smells from it.
Right.
Maybe you multiply it. What happens if you multiply it?
You have to genetically engineer asparagus. We get different types of asparagus.
Exactly. I wonder what the white asparagus.
Hey, that could do something.
Maybe that smells different, you know? And then from that, then we realize that we can probably also change the back smell, you know,
the back smell.
Yeah.
Very tactfully put.
Thank you. earwax odors.
Got a bit of back smell in there.
Got a little bit of back smell.
Yeah.
Rear whiff. That's not as nice.
Dorsal stench.
That's stench is hard. No. Is harsh. dorsal aura.
Aura?
dorsal mist?
That's great. Dorsal mist is the rebrand that the fart has been crying out for.
And it does cry.
It does. Yeah, okay, great. And then you're not gonna accept my offer of ways that a man can be more supportive in the birthing experience.
I mean, look, this could be funny, but I think there's the part where you're laying under your wife, right? And you see it as super supportive, right? But you're naked, and to people around, it just is reminiscent of things that they've seen in sex videos.
You know what? That didn't even cross my mind. But now that you say it, of course.
Mm.
Of course people are going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because there's this... What if she's on top of a glass coffee table and I'm underneath? Then there's a barrier. No one could be upset.
Well, I suppose then that also stops any kind of fluids getting on you.
Exactly.
Yeah, which, you know, I guess, but that doesn't show support. I mean, you know, accepting those is a sort of an acceptance.
I should be getting squirted with something from somewhere.
Could, you know, oh my God, it's just getting too, it's getting too. But, you know... Oh, my God. You know when they there's that thing about, like, if a baby comes out by a C-section that they, you hear people say, and I don't know if there's a lot of scientific backing, that they grab a bit of culture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We talked about doing this.
Yeah.
Didn't end up doing it, but it's seeding or something like that.
Seeding,
like
get that.
Get the bacterial flora.
Yeah, the flora, sort of, you know, all that stuff. And to get it on you. So then maybe that's what you should be doing as a supportive husband, is that you should also be getting it on you.
I thought I was going to be maybe giving the baby a bit of my flora, but you're saying I should get some of the flora.
Well, that's what you would get if you were underneath.
Yeah, I guess I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, then that's interesting, isn't it?
It's really interesting.
And Alistair, this whole conversation has made me realize I don't want this to be written down as a sketch edit.
Well, I mean...
learned...
Is there ways in which, I mean, like, you know, in
what about in a C-section? Okay, this is better.
Yeah.
This is a C-section. I lie on top of my wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, wait.
Maybe I'm supported in some way. I'm on top of her. Maybe, like, I'm stretched out in like a... I'm above her. I'm stretched out on some sort of grid.
Yeah.
My arms and my legs are lashed to the far walls of the operating theater and I'm there.
Okay.
And then I say... They're going to do it a C-section. I say, you're going to get that baby out of my wife. You've got to go through me first.
Oh, see, right? That's nice.
They cut through me.
Yeah.
Through, move my organs out of the way, out the back.
Cut through the spine?
No, they go around the spine.
Oh, around. That's
around
good.
The spine. Behind the kidneys.
Yeah.
Past the liver, right? And then they go through into my wife.
Oh,
and
my
then
God.
When they pull the baby out, it comes out. Out of her stomach and then up into my back and then through.
Through you.
My sort of abdominal...
Cavity.
Cavity. It's not a cavity, though, is it? It's very full.
Is it?
It's full of stuff.
No, not when they're pulling a baby
not
out.
Not when they're pulling that baby through. It's wide open because they've stretched it with things.
Yeah, it's a cave, maybe. It's closer to a cave.
Don't you think that would be supportive?
Yeah, well, I mean, that... It's so intense. my body feels shooken.
Yeah.
I'm shooken.
Okay. I mean, I think that could be something.
Okay, great.
You know, and then you're going to hear a lot less from the ladies about the agony of childbirth,
and that's what it's all about.
Because you know they only have to deal with the child coming out; they don't have to deal with it coming in.
Oh, that's true.
And going through, and then out again.
That's true, yeah. I mean, they still have to have it kind of going through.
But I'd probably get an epidural so I didn't have to feel it. No, I go no anesthetic.
No anesthetic.
No anesthetic.
Cut through my guts,
mm.
across my organs.
Yeah.
Move them out of the way. Through my back.
And then drag a baby through the hole.
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
it's the opposite of a bypass, isn't it?
It's a go-through.
It's a go-through.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, isn't
it? But I mean, it's not the opposite of a heart bypass. I mean...
No. No, you're right. A heart bypass is a very different thing. But I'm thinking in terms of when you're road planning, they don't ever talk about we're putting in a go-through.
No. They don't
but
go.
I think that's...
We're going through the CBD. It's going to be, this is going to be a, it's going to be a freeway. It's going to go right through the center of town.
110.
Yeah. That's actually, we're putting in an autobahn.
Yeah.
Through the center of town. We're going to slice the city in two.
They're always removing, they're always talking about pedestrian malls, removing, removing car traffic from the center of our cities.
Yeah.
I just want to shake things up, you know?
Look, I do like this idea. Mm. Before we continue with this idea, mm-hmm. I just want to say kind of what they do at the moment. What they do at the moment is sort of a husband bypass.
Mm, that's right. The husband is not involved.
That's right. And so they, I think as they're getting the baby out of the lady,
mm-hmm.
they swerve to make sure they don't go in through the husband like that. And the doctors are very careful with that. Like that. And so they, they go, whoops.
It's really part of the art of the birthing. Mm. Yeah.
First, don't drop it.
Mm-hmm.
Second, try not to let the baby enter the man. Any of them. They bypass everybody.
Yeah, don't even get a foot in there.
Not even. Now, for what reason would somebody put in a go through?
Well, I know a lot of small towns struggle after they're bypassed.
Sure,
you know, because they're no longer a stopover point, right?
Yeah,
and they don't get that through traffic that they need to keep their takeaway, fish and chip takeaway, burgers,
yeah,
cappuccinos, takeaway shops.
People getting photos with the submarine, submarine.
With the local submarine. The local land-based submarine.
Well, there's one on the way between.
You're talking about Germantown. Or it used to be called Germantown. Now it's called No, it's not. It's called Alistair, I'm going to get it. They changed it from Germantown during World War One because it was considered not good. And they changed it to Atherton. Atherton?
I don't think so.
Andrewsville. The John Johnson place. No. Oh.
No, definitely not.
Have you found it?
Getting close.
Begin with an F? Tell me if I'm close. Does it begin with an F? Friarswick.
No, I don't think so.
Bottoms Side Manor.
Where is it? Oh my god!
This is the worst content we've ever had on the podcast. No one's ever Googled anything on the podcast before. It's the only thing that separates us from the Weekly Planet.
Oh no!
It's the only way people can tell the difference is that sometimes they Google things and they're hugely successful.
Holbrook.
That's what I meant.
No, you didn't.
I was thinking of Holbrook, but I just nothing I said or did could have given that away.
Okay, so
we were talking before the podcast, Alistair, about how there needs to be something in between innocent and guilty.
Oh yeah, that's true. That is.
And I think that's a good sketch idea.
Yeah. So for this, I mean, are we talking about context?
Well, sure.
I mean, look,
had to get political on you.
No, but so Kavanaugh just got
confirmed
in the Supreme Court, and it was just a weird thing when Mitch McConnell came out and said, this is a great day for the concept. I don't think he said the word concept, but, you know, the idea, the concept of innocent until proven guilty, right? And it is, in a way, good for
but
that.
But it's not even not quite innocent, is it? It's Supreme Court justice until proven guilty. Which is sort of even beyond.
I don't know. Can a Supreme Court justice be proven guilty of something and then lose their?
Maybe they probably can. They probably can. But I just think that it's all very well for somebody to be innocent, but then you know this person is supposed to be above reproach.
Exactly. And so anyway, so I think while you have some stuff hanging over your head,
mm-hmm.
there should be a place. Mm-hmm. Where you're sort of not quite 100% innocent.
Yes.
And obviously, then you could smear people, you know, by making things up or whatever.
But you can do that anyway. And we do.
That's right.
It's just not made official yet. So we think that there should be, you know, maybe the whole jury doesn't come back guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the whole jury comes back innocent, but they don't feel good about it,
mm-hmm.
right? They should be able to return a verdict of a bit sus.
Sus. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, a bit
we
sus.
We find the defendant a bit sus, right?
A bit to pretty sus.
Yeah, And maybe we can't sentence them to jail or even community service.
We can't sentence them to anything.
Right.
Because there hasn't been a court case in any regard. But we could proceed with caution.
Yeah.
With regards to their susness.
Mm.
Their sus nature.
Suspiciousity?
What?
Suspiciosity?
Suspiciosity.
Mm. But where do we put this? How do we make this into a sketch?
Hmm.
Is it just a court? What is it?
Court-based sketch. Could that work?
Would it work in a... No. Well, see, my problem is that we really only have the one joke, right? Yeah. And I think in a court, if it was in a court context, that joke wouldn't be revealed until the end. Oh, no, not necessarily. We could just have the judge summing up or whatever, and the jury gives the verdict of a bit sus.
I guess sometimes in these kinds of things where there's a hung jury, you know, especially if there's a hung jury. But I suspect that you could also be sus even before a court case.
Of course, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there then like a non-legal process to formalize this? Like, is it just a certain number of retweets of an Atlantic article listing the claims against you? And then you're officially a bit sus? Do you, on Twitter, maybe get a brown tick?
A brown tick. Yeah, that could be something. I mean, you know, I guess, like, for example, a Cosby scenario.
Right, we're not going to go with a brown tick then, because I've just realized that that's a whole political thing that we're not getting into.
Oh, right.
The color of the tick is a bad choice by me.
Right. I don't think I had interpreted it.
I didn't either.
I think you were just picking a funny color.
Yes, I thought I was because of poo. Are we deleting this from the podcast?
Eh?
Are we deleting all of this from the podcast?
This whole sus bit? You're not feeling good?
No, just this bit of the conversation?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay, great.
I mean, you can. We've never edited before.
No. Let's not. Let's just deal with it and, you know, and just make it a part of who we are.
Yeah.
And then try and be better people.
Sure.
And I'm saying we, but I just mean me, Alistair. Sure. You're not involved in any of this.
Whiz-a-we.
Look. Christ.
All right, I think the problem right now is that we're also talking about quite bad things.
It is quite bad. It is quite bad. I think...
Look, and I worry...
Yes.
I do worry that this sus branding could be used against, you know, people to stop them getting home loans. And we're just
that
going
was
to,
my first thought as well.
And that we're just
my
gonna,
thought was, what is this going to do to the housing
know,
market?
But I think we're just going to entrench. You know, some people are going to get sus just for being poor.
I don't think you can't be sus if you're poor. Sus is a thing. This is a thing that's only for the very well off, right? Because it can be means tested, right?
Yep.
And it's like how, you know, rich people are able to afford better lawyers. Mm-hmm. Very often they are able to, like, outlast people in court cases, you know, who don't have as much money to continue pursuing it, right? They can argue technicalities and that sort of thing. And, you know, even when they are found guilty, very often for some reason they're given less sentences and that sort of thing, right? So it feels like there is already a separate system of justice for them because they have money and they're able to afford...
Sure.
To shape justice to their own ends, right? Mm-hmm. So we are saying, fine, well, we're also going to shape justice to your own ends,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have a separate legal system where even if you beat us, we can still find you a bit sus.
All right. I think that's really good. I just don't know how we're going to get it integrated because it's kind of the rich who control that whole system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of the judges and things like that.
We could go down there with some guns or something.
Do you ever think about this? Do you ever think about this? About like how, like, you know, how difficult it is to be a lawyer or a doctor and things like that? I don't necessarily think it's because those things are... I don't think necessarily think it's because those things are, like, are, I mean, that much harder
right.
than most jobs.
Yeah.
But but because they're gatekeeping it, protecting it, and trying to keep it like fancy, you know, and so that not everybody gets into it.
Do you reckon anyone could do it?
Pretty much.
They do let you defend yourself in court.
Yeah.
Which is funny, isn't it? That they'd be like, all right, you have a go.
Yeah. And so
it's
if
like
you
when
do
a
that,
comedian asks the funny person in the audience, oh, no, you why don't
you
tell
us
a joke?
Yeah. I know, but you know, they don't have any material.
No.
They'll get up, they'll tell some other joke, and then people will laugh. And you go,
joke.
Yeah, but that's a street joke. That's hacky. Like that, anyway.
Street jokes, they're really funny. Anyone would laugh at them. In fact, we don't need any of this comedy bullshit because anyone would laugh. Street jokes are the best jokes. That's why they're street jokes. This is a sort of a parallel thing where we pretend that we don't already have the best jokes in the world in books at home. And we come out and we just sort of... we take pity on these people, stand-up comedians, and we pretend we don't already know all the funniest jokes. And then we laugh. We create a new system where we'll laugh at the funniest thing they say.
I partially believe that's true. Anyway, all I was gonna say is like if you think you could be a lawyer, you can represent yourself in court. If you think you can be a doctor, you can operate yourself in court.
I think that's correct.
What about you? It's a guy who's representing himself in court.
Yes.
He's like, I couldn't afford a lawyer. Well, I'm not sure, you know, if you should be doing it. He goes, I also can't afford a surgeon. And then he starts operating on his arm while he's representing himself in court.
I mean, when my wife was giving birth, there were a lot of people in the room, right? And I felt like probably some of them, whatever they were doing, I could have done that.
Yeah.
Right? If they'd just given me like a little manual, just a couple of seconds, a YouTube video or something, I could have been able to do that job on the day. And I wonder if like, you know, healthcare costs, not such a big deal in Australia, but I know the United States. Mm-hmm. If you can just, instead of having an anaesthetist, you just get him to give you 20-second, you know, talk you up before the operation. You get your hand on the knob there.
He tells you how far to turn it.
Yeah, how far to turn it.
You make sure that the tube is connected to the bottle, the big bottle, and he's connected to the mouth thing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How hard can it be?
I mean, you're not doing anything else. And who knows better than you whether you need more oxytocin.
Yeah. I guess maybe the anaesthetist?
Probably. But we can't afford him.
Yeah. But we can afford him to come in and give you the gist.
Just give you a consult. What? How much? So it's like you see the bill. It's like $15,000 anaesthetist.
Mm-hmm.
And you just... How much just to give me the gist?
Yeah.
Right? He's like, I can give you the gist for $2,000.
Well,
like,
I think
great.
Anesthetist is sort of a good one to have picked there because I think 99% of an anesthetist's job is doing nothing.
Yeah.
Right? But they've got to remain there for those 1% of times where something goes wrong.
Exactly.
Right? And so it's just kind of, it's you know, you're paying, but you're absorbing that risk.
Mm.
Right?
Perfect.
You know, and I assume the guy who's operating on you probably also has like a gist of what to do if something goes wrong with the anesthetic, right?
Yes.
You know, they're not like, if something goes wrong with the anesthetic, all the doctors around aren't going to go, uh-oh, anesthetist messed up. All right, let's get out of here while he fixes this problem.
Yeah.
Like
they're
that.
All still there.
They're all still there. You got some doctors there. They got they probably got those
they've
pads.
They've been watching the anesthetist all this time. They know more or less. It's like an understudy in a musical.
That's right. While the doctor is there operating on someone, they're usually out
they've
of the corner of their
eye.
Eye.
Well, they're
on the anesthetist at all times. really, you learn every time, you know? You get an idea of what the nurse is doing there while they're, you know, he's handing you, you know, a bunch of scalpels and things like that. You go, oh, right hand.
He's handing me scalpels.
Yeah, right.
Right hand, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you hand the handle first.
Yeah, not covered in filth.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, right. Don't cut yourself on the scalpel. Okay.
And then after a while, you could probably do the whole thing. The surgeon could probably do the whole thing.
That's right.
It's like, you know, sailing one of those ocean liners. They don't need much of a crew. It's a lot of it's automated.
Yeah.
Anyway, somebody who does a lot takes over bits of the surgery themselves. So I think it's pretty sure it's themselves.
So how are we framing this?
I think it's a well. This is how I was imagining framing it downstairs. Yeah. No longer takes place in a courtroom because.
Right.
I thought the unspoken agreement between both of us was that you'd unnecessarily complicated the idea.
No, but my thing was to take the pattern of representing myself in court, and then he's also representing himself in doctor's court.
I know what you were doing, Alistair. Yeah. I know about the pattern. I know what you were replicating.
Yeah.
But it was fucked. So what I'm doing
is a third one.
I'm replicating... You're right. If we had a third one, it would be fine. What is a third thing that you could do yourself?
Haircut.
Tearing a lawnmower. Oh, no, you're cutting your hair. That hair's falling in the open.
Into my womb.
What is he operating on his arm?
Carpal tunnel. he's going, I got it in this arm too that I'm operating with.
But this one arm's not quite as good, so yeah. I thought I'd operate on that arm, get that one up to speed, yeah. And then I should operate on this arm.
It's really quite hard. It's that finer, those fine motor skills
that I just don't have, what I'm trying to get back. It's a vicious cycle, really.
Ah, fuck it. I'll just start the other arm. I think the other arm is, he's got two open arms.
Is he still doing the haircut?
He's still doing the haircut. he's like, oh, I'm getting hair in it. He goes, oh, sir, how do you plead? I'm sorry.
My lawyer's losing a lot of blood. Okay, all right, that's your idea.
Yes!
Only because it was demonstrably funnier, though, Alistair. That's the only reason we're writing it down. I'm not saying it made any sense. I don't want you thinking you've made done some great sketch that makes lots of sense.
Cutting his own hair. No, but I think we should also get this other one. I think this other one is like a great way of saving money for the American economy as an alternative for.
Again,
it's
the economic rationalism, right? The individual, make the individual responsible. This is just, and we're giving more choice in healthcare.
Exactly.
Do you want to do that yourself?
Off of the success of the orifice odor treatment, we have developed a new healthcare option.
And it puts the power back in your hands, very literally, because you will be holding, I guess, a power cord to plug in the machine that you will then use to operate on your own body.
Actually, having one of those scalpels that also seals... You ever seen those?
No, but is that why? So, tell me about this.
So these scalpels, we got to use one when I was doing my medical course when I was at uni, and
you're a doctor.
We got to cut through like you know some pork or something like that, and it's a scalpel, but it's also electrified, so that as you cut through, it also sears,
cauterizes
it. Yeah,
great.
Like that, and so you're like cutting it open. But then, I mean, it's pork, so it's not bleeding.
No, but it smelled delicious?
It did smell a bit because it was like you're cutting through the fat.
And you're cooking a bit of that fat.
And you're cutting a bit of that fat and you're like, I'm going to get some lunch soon. But that was very distracting.
I mean, maybe this would be good for chefs, you know? If you could have a knife that cooks as you slice the...
That's really good. Just a really hot knife that as you cut through your beef, it just cooks... the beef.
Somebody's got to do this.
Somebody has
to. This is obvious. A hot knife.
Hot knife.
Like hot knifing.
I think that's a thing that in New Zealand they do with marijuana.
Hot knife.
It's so complicated. If I describe this on the
probably, it seems like something that you would talk about.
You know, it's where they take two knives and they put them onto the tips onto a flame.
Yes.
Like this. Meanwhile, you've taken your bud of marijuana and you're pulling little bits off and you're rolling them up into balls like that, and then you're making.
What is a bud?
It's like
it's not actually a bud of the plant, is it?
Yeah, it's a bud of the plant.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I think, but it's not like a flowering bud. It's like, I don't know exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize that I don't know much about the biology of the marijuana plant.
I follow an account on Twitter that is 420 Tasmania, and it's about legalizing marijuana in Tasmania. I think I'm like one of the only people who follows it. I don't know why I follow it.
But you're interested in seeing.
I just find all their posts really funny.
That's good. That's cool. Well, and you know what? I think it could absolutely transform Tasmania.
I encourage all of our listeners to follow 420 Tasmania. It's great. Just some quite earnest people posting what they think about legalizing marijuana in Tasmania.
Tell them the Two in the Think Tank podcast sent you.
No, I'm oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I can't remember what we're talking
about. Oh, we're talking about hot knifing.
Hot knifing. Oh, yeah, right. So then you're rolling those little bits up into balls and you're putting them into a little grid. And then when the knives are red hot.
Red hot?
Yeah. Once they're red hot, okay, you pick one of the little balls up with the knife. It'll stick to the knife.
Mm-hmm.
And then you press the two blades together.
Red hot blades.
Yeah. And then the smoke will come off, and then using a broken off glass bottle, you suck in the smoke.
Do you need a bottle? Couldn't you just suck it in with your mouth?
Well, it'll escape.
You'd lose some.
Yeah, because you got too big a hole.
Broken glass bottle. Does it have to be broken glass bottle? Could you use like a funnel from the?
I guess so, but you want like a tube, you know, something that kind of increases the suction.
I love how elaborate this is. Yeah. And I like the idea that if we'd never come up with smoking cigarettes, if this was just the way that that we'd done tobacco, and then all those movies in the 70s or the TV shows in the 70s where everyone's smoking, you know, Parkinson's smoking, they're interviewing a young Prince Charles.
Yeah.
Right? They're all doing that, hot knifing.
Well,
you got to have a little gas stove with you everywhere.
I think there's a sketch in just...
an alternative universe.
Well, yeah, like where an alternative universe where all those places that sell bongs and different paraphernalia that say that it's just for smoking tobacco.
Yeah.
Where you actually are using those to smoke tobacco. So it's like people sort of at bus stops with a 4-5 foot high glass dragon bong.
I think that's really funny.
Like that, and you go, oh, sorry, just having a cigarette break.
Yeah, people who are doing it driving along. What are scenarios in which people? What's the funniest scenario in which people? I mean, the great ones are the people who are sort of still doing something with both hands while they got the cigarette hanging out of the corner of their mouth. Sure. If you do that with a 5 foot tall glass bong.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Or like. I guess, like you got all sorts of pipes that you could be using, or I guess vaporizer is not as funny.
No, I mean, that's just what people do, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I apologize for bringing it up.
That's okay.
But look,
bucket bongs, they don't sell bucket bongs, do they, at those places?
No, but you could still, I mean, maybe, look, we could just make it, we could fudge it.
Yeah, great.
Because, like, somebody doing a, you know, your grandma doing a bucket bong on her rocking chair.
Yep.
Out. South,
but it's just tobacco.
It's just tobacco. Not even. It's not even in any way wacky.
It's not. It's what is another word that just means mundane, but that rhymes with wacky? Matter of facky tobacco.
There you go. Matter of facky.
Yeah, that's the best I could do.
Andy, I don't think that was bad. Hey, did you want to bring up something about Harry's razors?
Harry's razors. You know what, Alistair? I absolutely do. Because Harry's are the people bringing you this podcast today. And Harry's have a special offer for listeners of the Two in the Think Tank podcast.
Really?
Harry's is the... Look.
Premier.
The premier of the state of good razors.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They are offering our listeners $13 worth of free shaving gear if you go to harrys.com/thinktank.
Yeah.
Right? And they will send it out to you, right? You don't pay for that $13 worth of free shaving gear.
Yeah, okay? You get it in your
what
house.
Do you get? What do you get, Alistair? Tell the listeners what they've won.
You get that multi-blade razor.
Yeah, how many blades, Al? Five, and then one little extra one to shave under your nose.
Mm-hmm. It's separate from the other five.
It's separate, but it's not aloof.
No, it's not aloof.
It hasn't gone to its head in any way.
That's right, but it also...
Still part of the team.
And it's also part of the blade mechanism. Mm-hmm. It's not like a separate blade. It's just floating around your house.
Getting into the air vents.
No, that's not at all what's happening. You don't want to be breathing that in,
mm-hmm.
and you won't, because it's secured. You get that handle.
That handle, weighted, ergonomic handle. God, it feels good in your hand.
That's squishy.
I never want to let it go.
It's better than rubber.
Yes.
And it's more comfortable than latex.
Yeah. And it feels heatproof to me. I don't know. I haven't tried putting it in the oven or anything, but I feel like it wouldn't melt.
I've definitely held a magnifying glass over it and let the sun beams concentrate on it, and I can't seem to do any damage to it.
It's impervious. Is that what we're saying?
It's like that liquid metal guy in the Terminator.
Yes, exactly. So it will be sustain damage, but then it will reform.
That's right.
And possibly take on a new shape.
That's right.
One that looks exactly like a friend, a trusted friend. That's why you let it into the house. You also get that shaving foam. Feels real good. Mm-hmm. Smells real good. I wish it tasted good. Harry's, you've got to get with me on this. We're going to get an edible version of this shaving foam. Yeah. I keep bringing it up.
Even if it could be a... Instead of a foam, it could be a cheese.
It could be a cheese. We've got foaming cheese. That's a thing that exists.
There you go.
We've got foaming foam. That's a thing that exists. Am I crazy to want to combine these two things?
You're the sanest man I know.
Thank you. And you also get a little travel case to clip over those blades, so nothing's going wrong.
And it seems like now what
Harry's
they have available
is doing body wash and soaps. And this just showed up in the mail. We haven't been told to tell you guys about it. It could be top secret.
This could be top secret. This could be like a new Harry Potter book. You're not even supposed to release it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
This could be like Sean Connery's diary and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Mm-hmm. They sent this to us to keep it out of the hands of the Nazis.
That's right.
And they didn't want anyone to know. It was their last act. And here we are publicizing it on the podcast like the couple of Indianas that we are.
Yep. And, you know, this one, look, this...
I should have mailed it to the Marx Brothers.
This bar of soap is fig-scented, like that.
Oh, hello.
And this one is shiso.
Shiso.
Or shiso. I don't know.
Shiso.
She's so delicious smelling, mm-hmm. that bar of soap.
Anyway, that's not even part of the ad. Harrys.com/thinktank. Do you want more details about the Harry's Corporation, how they have this German engineering factory where they make all these blades? You know, I may have mentioned on the podcast, I had a baby recently.
Yeah.
I thought, I better shave before this baby comes.
Did you shave the baby?
You know I'm going to be rubbing my face against that baby.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I shaved my face. It was so smooth. I rubbed it against the baby. Got to be honest, baby felt a bit rough.
Really?
Yeah. So then I shaved that baby.
Yeah. Now, smooth as a baby.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Harry's.
Look, we already have a number of ideas, so I think we've got to go to our guest-inspired idea.
You can't shake a baby, but there's nowhere does it say you can't shave a baby.
I've never seen a single place where it says that.
Mm-hmm.
Eh? When have you ever walked into any building and seen a circle with a line through it, and behind that line is a photo of a man shaving a baby? Never.
Never happened
to Although, me. That would make a great T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But
we are not good at T-shirts. But we do have T-shirts.
We have T-shirts available.
Should we talk about that later on? We've got to do these three words from the...
But I want you to know, maybe for us, though, if we were to do that symbol, it would be a big circle with a line through it, and inside would be another circle with a line through it, and then a guy shaving a baby.
Because now you can shave babies because Harry's...
Yeah.
Those razors are so safe, so smooth, mm-hmm. so weighted, so ergonomic, so free. When you go to harrys.com/thinktank, you get that starter pack.
Mm-hmm.
And baby, it's more of a you're never going to want to stop a pack.
Yeah, if you want a new baby, get this razor.
Mm-hmm.
Like
it'll make your old baby feel like a new baby.
Yeah, it'll be your baby.
Yes.
Now we have three words from our listener, God Todd.
God Todd. Now, I don't know if this is 100% confirmed, but I like to think that God Todd was named himself on Twitter after an early episode where we came up with God's brother Todd, his less successful younger brother.
Personally, I think it's arrogant for us to think that. But oh, remember when we saw that there was that Twitter on Twitter, somebody sent us a sketch from Conan, which was International Waters.
It was our International Waters sketch.
Look, we don't really think that somebody took our sketch idea.
And used it on Conan. But it was incredibly similar.
Incredibly similar. So
using a little sample of international water.
That they could stand in a kiddie pool.
Which he actually was what we said on the podcast and what happens in the sketch.
It was in the episode that we had Meso on.
I mean,
I didn't get a response from Meso when I sent it. I did do it on regular public Twitter. I could have used private means.
Could have DM'd him.
But anyway.
DM direct Mason.
Direct to Mason pod, message. Yeah. But anyway, if you YouTube probably Conan International Waters.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Watch it.
You could find it. Tell us if you think similar rarities.
Yeah. And maybe I'll find a link to that episode and put it in the show notes.
I love the extra mile you're willing to go to for this podcast.
I haven't done it yet. I'm willing to say I'll do it, which is an extra mile.
That is 1 mile.
And then the further mile, we'll see whether I actually do it.
And so these three words are from our supporter on Patreon, Mr. God Todd. I can't remember his name outside of Twitter.
I don't think we've been given this information.
Okay, great.
He's one of those people whose Twitter handle is the same as their Twitter name.
Yeah, right.
Like me. No, I'm different. I'm Stupid Old Andy and Andy Matthews. Right.
Oh, I thought your real name was Stupid Old Andy.
That's true.
His three words. Thank you, Todd. God Todd.
Thank you, God Todd.
I don't even know if his name is God or Todd. His three words. Here, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Dolphin.
Yes.
Thumbs.
Yes.
Caliphate.
I mean, this makes me think of those dolphins that they were training to stick mines to the bottom of were the Russians training the dolphins to stick mines to the bottom of warships?
Was it Ukrainians?
Ukrainians were training the dolphins to stick mines to the bottom of
boats.
Russian boats, possibly, sure. And then maybe in the annexation of Crimea.
I think they got their dolphins.
They got the dolphins.
Yeah.
So now the dolphins, what do?
I think they've asked for their dolphins back, and I don't know what the dolphins do, but I assume, I don't know if anybody would care about them as much.
If you want dolphins back is called, dorsal. Forget it.
Dorsal mist.
Those dorsals are sorely missed, I think, and that's why the Ukrainians want them back. How do you get them back? You crane them with a crane.
You could use a crane, like with Free Willy.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, a caliphate would be a state set up for a certain belief system. Mm. Possibly the word technically means Islam, it would be a state set up for Islam.
Sure, but I don't think
But I mean, like, you could set it up for any belief system.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think, the Islamic caliphates, they don't seem like the kind of people who'd be unwilling to let us take something from them, like the word caliphate.
Well, I assume caliphate is now an English word already by changing this Arabic word into English.
English word.
It's already kind of been bastardized a little bit. It probably doesn't in any way mean the exact same thing that
exactly.
It meant.
Probably different letters.
So if we were to say we were the kind of people who, based a whole state on the belief that you can't call a thumb a finger.
Yes, one of my favorite minor quibbles.
Mm.
Yeah. So the thumb is not considered... The thumb is very much like the fifth blade on the Harry's razor.
Yep.
Or the sixth blade, I guess.
Sure.
That is separate but still part of the team.
Yeah.
But what are we saying? Are we saying that maybe even the thumb can no longer work with the rest of the fingers?
Well, there's a possibility... I mean, if that's what you want to do.
Because what we could do then is we could get sort of a round disc, almost like a frisbee,
mm-hmm.
right? And we could cut a hole in the middle of it
and
put that over the thumb.
Okay.
Right? And then the thumb sticks through the hole.
Sort of like a partition in an office.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, the thumb can still do thumb things
yeah.
on that side of the partition. And on the other side, below the frisbee, the fingers can still do their thing, mm-hmm. but they're no longer going to collaborate. You know, it's like right. it's like a Beatles
a
situation.
A secession kind of thing.
It's like when Ginger left the Spice Girls.
Mm.
You know, trying to have a... The thumb wants a solo career.
Okay, yeah. And but it happens on the grand scale of all thumbs.
All thumbs.
In this state.
Yes.
In this state. And the way that you enter the state...
And it's right? This is a religious thing. This is a religious decree for some mm-hmm. reason.
And the way that you enter this state... It's an island state,
mm.
and in order to get in, a dolphin who's been taught to speak,
right,
right, says, stick a finger in my blowhole. Like that.
Really good.
Yeah.
And then if you put your thumb in there,
yeah,
he drags you down to the bottom of the ocean and drowns you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and just. There's bear traps down there.
Yes.
And it just gets your hands stuck in a bear trap.
Uh-huh.
And then you just have to watch yourself drown.
Watch yourself drown. Because there's a mirror.
How perverted.
And there's divers there to hold your head.
Yeah.
And say, watch this.
Watch this. Watch this. It's Richard Nixon.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Richard Nixon.
It's Richard Nixon in scuba gear. And so then, but then I don't know, what are these, I guess is everything different in this state? Because everything has to sort of be designed so that you can only use, like you can't use your thumb, so...
Well, I mean, you can use your thumbs, but you just can't use them in conjunction with yeah. your fingers.
But let's say, for example, using a fork,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Now, normally, that would be a kind of a finger
thumb. That's a classic example of them all working together, isn't it?
Yeah. So instead, you would kind of have to, like, get something where it can either fit between your sort of index and middle finger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
That's something.
You know, and then, I don't know, maybe like a...
I'm trying to imagine sort of... You, bringing all four of your fingers together into sort of a little point, and then you could slot something up in the gap in between them all. But that's not really a grip. That's tough. Oh, that hurts even trying to do it. Religion is so stupid.
Yeah.
That's what this... I mean, I tell you what, this is really making a satirical point.
Isn't yeah, absolutely.
How religious divisions and the, you know, the vagaries
yeah.
of... I ideology.
I thought you were going to say Ayatollah. I was like, it's not about Islam anymore, Andy.
No, I took it all well away.
I told you so.
Anyway.
So just for some reason, how I would picture, let's say, you being able to mount sort of forks or pencils to your hand.
Mm.
Instead of, so let's say half-length pencils
yes.
or forks.
Yes.
And then at the base of it, it kind of forks out.
There's a fork in the fork?
There's a fork, but it's just a two-pronged fork.
Yes.
And instead of prongs...
Yes.
There's actually two kind of rubber sort of canonical sleeves, kind of like what you would have at the top of a wooden leg so that you could fit your thigh stump
yep.
into it.
Yep.
Like
there's
that.
Two of those and they go over your fingers.
They go over your bent fingers.
Great.
So like your bent knuckle. So like that. Maybe it bends around like this so that you can really secure it
this
in.
The audience is so lost, Alex.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, it could just be two finger holes, like two rubber fingers, silicone
finger
holes.
It makes so much
holes,
more sense.
Like that. And then you can curl them back so you get, then it's, your the metal part slots between your two things. So
I don't
you get
even
a bit of
remember
stability.
What we're talking about. We're talking about holding a fork. Is that right?
Holding the fork or a pencil.
Or a pencil. Okay, great.
Or a mouse,
you know
computer
what,
mouse.
You know what's so good about this?
What?
It's great for industry. Great for innovation. Suddenly we've got something, and new industries are going to spring up
exactly.
to meet these needs. It's
yep.
going to drive everything forward. We're going to have a new industrial revolution of so many overflowing of ideas. People come up with ways to get around this stupid rule that we've imposed on ourselves, and I'm excited.
And we'll be able to export to people who don't have thumbs.
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah, the thumbless.
The thumbless who live amongst the sort of the infidels.
The Yeah, the plebs.
The plebs is what we call them, because we're all rich in this island nation.
We are. We're doing so well from selling all those things to people without thumbs. I mean, the UAE, they've got the oil reserves, but we've got these ideas.
We're like Singapore, right? We're a country that has no natural resources, so we have to make our money off of our own creativity.
Yes.
By creating artificial boundaries for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Like the ocean has created for Singapore.
Exactly. And, yes, that's right, the ocean. And then maybe on that island we create loads of other barriers for themselves, because that's how you stimulate creativity.
This is only the beginning, yeah. This thumb situation.
Eventually.
This thumb nightmare we've made for ourselves.
You know, maybe they could say, well, not both legs are the same kind of leg. They're not really legs.
I say we're putting this
One's a leg, the other one is all shin. Like, that's, they prove that somehow. They go, actually, people thought the shins were down the bottom. Or they go, what, the left side should be for shins and the right side should be for thighs. And then they surgically remove the thigh.
And put it on the
other side. And then they take the shin like that for purity.
It is crazy that you've got this sort of jumble of thighs and shins on each leg.
And knees, they just go where your elbows are.
Great.
They're next to them. You get a line up.
Get all your bendy guys all together.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That way, and then those boundaries will create new industries.
So many new industries. These ideas, Alistair, are also good. They're going to go into our show that we're doing for the Comedy Festival next year called Magma.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone get very excited, or, I don't know, maintain your state of
whatever it is about the island of Magma.
Yep.
Thought maybe the only bird could be hawks.
Great.
How do you say hawk?
Hawk.
See, for some reason, this is what I thought about in the shower the other day. I don't think it's very good, but
yeah.
So I say hawk, and then you
hawk
say, like that, and you go no, hawk, like that.
Hawk,
and then I go no, yours sounds too hawk, like a hawk. It sounds like an upset British football crowd. Hawk. Mine goes hawk, like that when they're happy when there's been a goal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think we'll let the listeners to tweet in and tell us about that one.
Thumb caliphate.
Yeah. I mean, we're just rewriting down the three words again there. But
not
the
dolphin.
The separate thumbs. The dolphin was integral to that sketch, by the way, that drags you down to the bottom of the ocean so you can watch yourself drown.
Yeah, but then they're
going to need to put goggles on you, because it's very difficult to see underwater when you're like... If you don't have goggles on, you've got your eyes open. I imagine this is one of those, this is quite a silty sea bottom.
Oh, no, it's beautiful.
Beautiful crystal clear?
Crystal clear, golden sand.
Even so, I think you find that when your eyes are open.
Oh, it's still a bit blurry.
Still a bit blurry, so you won't be able to see the detail of yourself drowning.
I know, but the mirror will be real close.
Real close, okay, yeah. Great.
That's nice.
They can hold your head down to it.
Yeah.
They can't pop some goggles on you?
Well, I know, but with you, they need prescription goggles.
That's true.
Right? And so then that's not going to help anyway. Yes. You're still not going to be able to see. And they're not going to hold a set of goggles in every prescription.
If they just had a big orb, like a fishbowl, that's sealed just above my nose somehow.
Yeah.
Right? And then I could wear my glasses inside the fishbowl and still watch myself drown.
Maybe they could give you one of those old-timey
diving helmets. But then I'd be able to breathe in there. I wouldn't drown.
I wouldn't be attached to oxygen.
Oh. So I'd only have a couple more minutes probably.
Yeah. Probably just as you finished off the air.
But then I'm not really drowning, am I? I'm suffocating. I'm watching myself suffocate.
Oh, no, but
that goes against what the whole point of this was.
Why?
Well, you're supposed to watch yourself drown in the mirror.
Yeah, and I guess it'd probably get foggy as you kind of...
It'd fog up, and I'd have to be cleaning it with a little, towel.
But if you can get your hand in the helmet... Then you can
probably get your hand up in the helmet.
And water could probably get in.
Oh. No, maybe inside the suit I could reach up sort of past my neck.
No, you're not wearing the rest of the suit.
Just the helmet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're right. Yeah, water would get in then. And how do they seal it around under my neck?
Oh, just...
Just a string.
Rubber.
String and a rubber and like a tight pair of board shorts.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, we got to the bottom of that, literally. And when we were down there, we watched ourselves drown. Do you want to take us through the sketches we've come up with today, Alistair?
All right, we got Nude Hospital.
Nude Hospital. I'm so excited about Nude Hospital. I think it's going to solve a lot of problems that we Absolutely. Didn't know we had.
You know, and even if people weren't always on the move in the Nude Hospital, I still think you're saving loads of time.
Mm.
And finding things that would have ordinarily gone undiagnosed.
And everything's glass.
Because this is the problem, is that when you go into a doctor's office, you kind of got to direct them towards something that might be a problem.
Mm.
You're not always being observed. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Whereas in the nude hospital, there's just people walking by. Their job's to just check you out, point things out, whatever, find your flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Suggest.
And point them out to you.
Point them out.
I think everything's got to be glass as well. I think all the seats and stuff have got to be glass. Everything's so, like, be if, glass. If you're not walking all the time, and you're sometimes sitting down. You're sitting down on a glass seat.
Lots of wet wipes available for everybody.
Sure, everything's getting wiped down by those orderlies.
Nude orderlies.
You'll be able to see all their chest tattoos.
Mm-hmm. Then we got orifice odor treatment. This is just something that goes inside all your orifices. I thought that it was maybe going to be a little sort of like a wedding ring or something like that, but the size, you know, sized for your orifice, and it kind of helps change the odor as whatever comes out, your gases or fluids.
I think it's fantastic. I think it's going to make when you go to a public toilet
or a sewage treatment plant
but specifically a public toilet, because that's what I was trying to say point of my sentence.
Or a sewage treatment plant.
Okay, but that, I mean, that doesn't really help me with getting my point across, because I'm talking about a public toilet.
But again, it doesn't help me getting my point out.
Are you getting a point out?
Well,
it feels like I'm getting a point out, and you're sort of somehow like a strangler fig wrapping your point around my point and letting it die.
No. I'm putting my point in between the spaces between your point. Making efficient use of
point space.
That's
the thing
about
a point. There's no spaces between a point. It's point.
Well, no, between 2 points.
No, 2 points. Sure, if I was making 2 points, but I'm only making 1 point, I've forgotten.
I'm slotting it between your beats.
You're right. We thought a point could not be broken, but actually a point is made up of beats. And that was my point.
Anyway, so if you went to it, now if you go to usually a sewer treatment plant, going there was an unpleasant experience, sort of standing above the effluent kind of pouring from a big pipe into a sort of a big open area where it gets treated or whatever. But now
it's like potpourri.
No, absolutely. You might even scoop up a little bottle of perfume into there and just screw it on, bring it home to your beloved.
Screw it on. You know, at the moment, it feels like barely 6 months goes by before we hear some awful story about some workers at a sewage plant who fell into a vat and were overcome with fumes.
Yeah.
Well, here, they're going to fall into a vat, and if anything bad happens, if anything, they're going to come out feeling refreshed and invigorated.
Well, or at least be overcome with a delightful smell
when
the fumes take them out.
Oh, they still die.
Oh, I don't know if we're removing the poisonousness of effluent.
Sure. We're not gods.
We're not.
If anything, this is going to be a problem, because it's going to smell so good. You're probably going to end up close to a lot of that poison.
Wanting to drink it.
Wanting to drink the poison.
Wanting to make you and the poison one.
Yep.
Anyway, ways to be more supportive during birth. This is a class where we're trying to teach men how to be more supportive during birth.
Yeah. Or it's a revolutionary surgery. It could be somebody announcing a thing.
Oh, yeah, they're going through me, through you.
It's a breakthrough in couples' intimacy.
Yeah.
And equality.
It's a breakthrough. We've made a breakthrough where the men can also feel pain during birth.
Where the men can literally be broken through.
Yeah. And down.
And down. Mm-hmm. And they're there stretched above the woman like they're on a rack.
Yeah, a drying rack.
Or they're like a hammock or a drying rack.
And I think it'd be also fun for doctors for whom sort of C-sections and different things like that have become sort of almost too, you know, boring.
Mm. And also this is great for couples that are poly, because you can just keep stacking the partners up.
Oh, yeah.
There's 5 people in the relationship. That baby can go through all of them.
Mm, and the doctors can start working with sort of longer and longer sticks that they can, you know, reach through things. It kind of becomes
like a fondue.
Yeah. Yeah, like a fondue or one of the, you know, one of those like one of those kind of like lattice. You know, like you would see the lattice, but with like a it kind of extends and then
there's a boxing glove.
Boxing
on the
glove
end?
At the end.
Oh, I know. Like, I see that all the time.
Like one of those, but with a pincher at the end.
Yeah, to grab the head of the baby
or the foot.
Or the foot, yeah. Yeah,
depends
come out
if it's
by
breech.
The foot. Yeah. God, imagine if you've got to pull a breech baby through five poly members of a poly relationship. Anyway, good on them.
We got guy representing himself in court and operating on himself and cutting his own hair.
It's the perfect sketch. It makes perfect sense. The beats are all there. Yeah. It's very achievable.
See, I like it a lot. And this is the kind of things, if I was doing a sketch show alone, I guess, I would, it's one of the kind of stuff I'd go for.
Yeah, well, do you think that's likely to happen?
Depends if anybody, who listens is a TV producer who for some reason hates you. I don't know. He's a bit too much of a know-it-all for me, like that. And then they're like, "But that Al, I could really work with him alone." Like that, you know.
But no, fine. You can't have my birth sketch.
No. I mean, there's a chance I came up with some of that.
Not the one where I'm lying under my wife with my genitals exposed.
And the baby sees them as he goes out. He doesn't know which way. Sort of from birth, you're impeding the baby's ability to understand how the reproductive system works. Oh, confuse it.
Yeah.
You'll learn from me, mate, from my mouth. Not from your own eyes. Then we got bongs for tobacco. Bongs and all paraphernalia.
Paraphernalia.
And then we got the thumb caliphate, which is... It's got to be.
Just a classic sketch. Just a classic sketch where the thumb and the fingers don't work together. I think it's good. I think that's a magma idea. We'll put that in a magma. Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah.
We can show people that on stage. We can create the model.
That's good.
Right, because our characters were angry about people who said that thumbs were fingers.
Yeah, we didn't like that at all.
And we're proving them wrong, I guess. Wrong. Everything you said is dead set wrong. I'm the only person who's not wrong, because I am right and I am right and I am right on, baby.
Raunchy.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast.
I do realize.
I think it was a good one.
Yeah, I think so too. I think I realize that what constitutes a sketch for us has definitely changed over time.
It's an idea we enjoy.
Yeah. But also,
Alistair, so
of
these, many of
I think
these
could
sketches.
Be turned...
No, but Alistair, shut up. No, sorry.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that the one about the dog landing the plane, we would have said that couldn't be done as a sketch.
You're right.
And then we did it as a sketch, and it was very successful.
It was a very successful sketch.
That dog pilot, man dog pilot sketch. Yeah. Right? So, there you go.
There you go. You're right.
Thanks to Harry's for supporting the podcast. Thanks to God Todd for the words.
You can support us on patreon.com/2intank if you want to do that. Review us on iTunes. We love that. And
we love that so much.
And listen to some of the other Planet Broadcasting podcasts. You know, why not listen to Millennial Divide?
Yeah.
You know?
I'd love to listen to that.
Why not listen
to... I hear good things.
Why not listen to Make the Thing?
Just Make the Thing with Claire Tonti. Fantastic podcast. I've listened to a lot of it, and I love it.
Yeah. Why don't you listen to...
Primates. We've both been on that with Matt Stewart, right?
That's right.
Why don't you listen to Dave Warnocky's new podcast, Book Cheat?
Yeah.
He's just started one.
Is it out?
It's out now.
Oh,
Book Cheat
is
up. It's available. Get on board. He takes you through a book that you probably will never get around to reading, and after you've listened to it... You can pretend you've read it.
Exactly.
We did it for Chekhov's play The Seagull.
Yeah.
And it was great fun.
It was really
good. And find me on Twitter. I'm Stupid Old Andy.
And I'm at Alistair TB. And
we're at
Two in Tank. And
Patreon and iTunes reviews, if you don't mind. We love them. that make us feel really, really good about ourselves.
And we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.